Grace, strength, joy, blessing to God's people today from God, our King, our Father, our Creator, and Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, today I'd like to talk with you for a few moments about why it's important to come to church, to attend services. And interestingly enough, Beth told me this morning, the strange thing is this message would be really great for those who are not here today. I mean, this emphasis is really for them, but it's also for you because it should be a strong encouragement from our God as to why it's great, super important for us to come to church on Sundays and not forsake that. Because I think we all know a lot of family members, acquaintances, coworkers, etc., who claim to be Christians, call themselves Christians, but they don't come to church regularly on Sundays. They feel it's all right to just skip. You know, there are some people you only see twice a year, right? Christmas and Easter. Some people never come. Other people just skip down through the line. Why is it super important for us to come to church each Sunday? And what does God tell us about the importance of that? Why is it great that you're here? And it is great that you're here today. So why? Why is it so great? Let's talk about that today and what God would teach us by His Holy Word. Now, first of all, the first thing I think we could say is, you know, many people, many supposed Christians or people who are Christians, don't think it's that important to come to church every Sunday. In fact, if you look at America, an ABC news poll that I saw said that 83% of Americans call themselves Christians. How many do you think are in church, though, on Sundays? One report I saw said 18.7%. Isn't that interesting, John, right? So you got 83% say they're Christians, 18% or so come to church. And the trend is actually declining such that by 2050 should be about 9%. What does God say to us about this? That's less than 10%. Where are people instead? I mean, if you're not in church on a Sunday morning, where are some of the people out, even at this very hour, 10:26 this morning, where are they? Where? Sleeping. Okay, there's one. That's the Church of the Holy Comforter, right? Sleeping, it's my bed, it's my pillow, it's my sheets, that's where I really want to be, people say. Or some people are out on the golf course, right? Or they're out fishing, good one. That's, yep, they're out fishing today. In fact, on my way here this morning, I passed a guy with fishing poles, and I thought, boy, I'd like to go fishing. But it's more important to get to church, especially for me, right? I'm preaching. You know, some people go to the beach, or they go to a theme park, or they travel, or they want to visit friends, or do basically anything other than come to church on a Sunday. People choose all these other places to be. Okay, I get it, but why? What kinds of excuses or reasons do people have for not coming to church every Sunday? Well, here's a couple of them. For one, people say, well, church is boring. It's too long. I can't sit for a whole hour. That's one excuse. Another one people say is, well, I work all week. And, you know, I just need one day, a complete day off, and church would cut into my day off. Heard that one? Other people say, well, I don't get a lot out of it. And it's really about what I get out of church. Not what I'm here to do, but what I get out of it. And I don't get a lot out of church, so I got something out, so I'll come fairly often, but I'll skip when I want to because I really, it's not that important. Don't get a lot out of it. Other people say, well, it makes me feel guilty because of my sinful lifestyle I'm living in. Well, they need to come around. And some people say, as I've met many, I'm sure you have too, where they say, well, I got hurt by church once, and I saw that those people are hypocrites, and so I'm not coming to church anymore because, you know, I had one bad experience, so I'm done. I'm not coming anymore. And maybe the most popular one, I think, especially in America, is this one. Well, you know, faith, it's an individual thing, just me and God. It's a personal thing. It's not a group thing. And so I'm fine. God and me, we be mates. We're friends. I don't need church. I can just do it on my own. I am a Lone Ranger Christian. Off by myself, no problem. So there's all kinds of excuses and reasons people give for not coming to church. I want to ask, are these legitimate? Any of these legitimate excuses not to come to church? are there legitimate excuses not to come to church each Sunday? Well, you know what? To be fair, there are a couple reasons not to attend a church. For one, it would be if the church really is a bunch of hypocrites, right? Have you ever been to a church like that? You see some of this kind of thing almost going on in the Bible here, like 1 Corinthians 11. Paul says to the Corinthian church, he says, "On this I don't commend you, because when you come together, it's not for the better, but for the worse." Have you been to a church like that? Where you go there and there's a toxic kind of biting and devouring one another? That actually happened in Galatians here. In Galatians, Paul says to them, "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you're not consumed by one another." Have you been to a church like that? Where the people maybe even have the truth, but they're not walking it at all. They're just destroying each other. So in a case like that, where it's really toxic, I would say, yeah, if the church is full of hypocrites, skip it. Don't go. You're not there to be destroyed in your faith, but built up, right? But guess what? It's America. There's a church on every corner. It doesn't mean you skip out on church. Find a true one with a true shepherd and people who are walking in the Lord. Not that anybody's perfect, but that we are seeking to grow in Him. Attend there. And hopefully it's here because we are such a church. But if you know people in other places of the country, and they need a church, encourage them to get there. So there's one legitimate reason, right? How about this one? If the preacher is a wolf, and not a true shepherd, would that be a reason to skip out on that church? Well, Jesus says, let's open that in Matthew 7, verse 15. He says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruits." Would you skip out of the church if the preacher were really a wolf in sheep's clothing? Well, yeah, you really ought to get out of a church like that. In fact, I did that when I was 20-some years old. I was in the Episcopal church, and we had a new priest come in. You've heard this story where I heard a lot of New Age stuff going on in his sermon. So I said, you know, I won't give his name, but Father so-and-so. You're not supposed to call him Father, but apart from that, I said, "Do you believe that Jesus died for our sins on the cross?" And his face changed, and sort of a grimace came. He says, "I've met your kind before. I talk of Jesus dying on the cross and for our sins and such." He says, "I don't believe that." And I'm like, "What did I say? See ya. I'm out of here. I'm getting out of Dodge. I'm leaving this church." I was pretty polite, but I said, basically, "I'm gone." Because that's a wolf. And you should skip out on a church that has a wolf. But does that mean you should not go to church anymore? What's it mean? It's America. Find a church where there's a true shepherd, right? And the truth preached and people loving each other. Growing in that. Get there. You know, I've met so many people who just say, "Oh, I met a wolf one time, and so I'm never going to church again." Well, guess what? All you've told me is that Jesus' word has come true. So why did that destroy your faith? Jesus told you to beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. So you met a wolf. That's no excuse not to go. Find a true shepherd. And that's what I aim to be for you. And what a true shepherd is who's preaching the words of this book in spirit and in truth. The grace of Jesus Christ. So praise be to God. He's blessed us in that way. So now let's get to the real point, okay? Why is it important for us as Christians to come to church regularly, as in every week here on Sunday? What's God say to us about that in His Bible? Why is it super important? Well, here's one reason. Let's open up to Hebrews chapter 10. It says this. Let's see what it says. It says, "Let's hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithful. And let's consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So you tell me, what's number one reason to come to church according to God and His book here? Number one, because He commands it, right? That's a command. Don't neglect to meet together. There's a good reason. It's never good to go against God's commands, right? Doesn't work out well. But God commands us, and what is the purpose? What does He say here is the purpose? That you would encourage each other in the faith. That's so important. Because Jesus says in Matthew 24:13, he who endures to the end will be saved. And over here in Hebrews 3, it says, we share in Christ if only we hold our first confession firm to the end. So it's not starting your life in Christ that saves you, although that's fantastic, but it's enduring to the end, crossing the finish line, conquering, winning, keeping the faith to the end, and then we're saved. Of course, we're saved now, but we need to continue and not depart. So we come together for what purpose? To encourage each other in that so that we don't fall away from Christ and lose faith. For God, this is Colossians 1:22, Jesus has reconciled us to God in his body of flesh by his death to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before God, verse 23, provided that you continue in the faith, stable, steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel which you heard, etc. So why do we come together to church? Why is it so great that we're here together today? To encourage each other that we keep the Christ and go forward and go upward and not drift apart. Amen? You know, a lot of people think, I'm a Lone Ranger Christian. I can do this all on my own. But God has given us a troop to be a part of. A whole cavalry battalion to be a part of to encourage each other. We need that. Lone Ranger Christians don't last very long. If they do, they're weak. And if they don't, they might even fall away. You know, if you ever go out in the woods and have a big bonfire and see all that wood on the fire, what's happening? All the wood is burning off of all the other wood, right? Is there a piece of wood? You tell me. Is there a piece of wood in the middle of that fire that's in danger of going out? Yes or no? No, not if you're in the middle of the fire. All the other fire is going to help you burn, and you're going to do bright and great through the night. But what if in the middle of the night, pop, a fizz, and it rolls down away from the bonfire over here in the cold by itself? Is it still burning? Yes. Is it still lit? Yes. How long, though, is it going to continue to burn? Not so long, right? It's going to get dimmer. Probably won't make it till day. Might, but it's getting in trouble. Lone Ranger Christians, big problem. Skipping out on church, problem. Let me ask you a question. We face an evil one, right? The Bible says there's an enemy. Does he take a Sunday off? Does he take a week off trying to aim his bows at us? He doesn't take any weeks off, so why are we taking weeks off, right? You guys are doing great, by the way. I'm saying super job with you because you are here. But think about National Geographic. You get always, it's like every show, it's the same, right? It's like, why do they show it this many times? But there's always the big herd of wild buffalo, water buffalo out there in the plains, and the lions are always sneaking through the tall grass, stalking, and then they charge, and the whole herd takes off. What happens? Inevitably, you know, they're all safe, they're in the herd, and then one peels off by itself, and you're like, oh, that guy's mincemeat. He's done. He's gone. He's a goner. And it's true. As soon as he gets away from the group, boom, they pounce and he goes down. Mincemeat. Well, God is telling us here, don't neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some people. But get together because you're here to encourage each other. And all the more as you see Christ's day drawing near. So that's a super blessing from God that you are here. You are here. Praise God. Wonderful job. As iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. I'm here to sharpen you, and you, guess what? You sharpen me. We encourage each other. This is awesome what you're doing. Great job in being here. Secondly, God says not only my command and for encouragement, but come to church because, number two, it's the only place on earth where I have promised to meet you in a supercharged way. Do you want to meet God in a supercharged way? Well, a lot of people say, I can see him just as well on the golf course, right? Haven't you heard that? I know and experience God just as much in nature, out of my fishing hole on the lake, out on a boat, in my bed. I know God just as much as I know him here in church. Really? Well, You know what it says here in the Bible is that God doesn't just meet us anywhere. You look in the Old Testament, they're in the wilderness, right? The people are passing through 40 years. And God says, "This you shall offer upon my altar, two lambs a year old." This is Exodus 29. He says, "You shall offer it in the evening," etc. And then he says, "It shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tent of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you to speak to you there. There I will meet with the people of Israel, and it shall be sanctified by my glory." So, in the Old Testament, could you have God meet you just anywhere? Of course, God is everywhere at all times, of course. But where did God promise to meet the people? At the, what? Tent of meeting. That's the place, God says. When they entered into the promised land, after they were in the wilderness, what did God say to them? This is Deuteronomy 12. God says, "But when you cross the Jordan and live in the land which I'm giving you to inherit, and I give you rest from all your enemies so that you live in safety, then to the place which the Lord your God will choose to make his name there, dwell there, there you will bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, sacrifices, etc." Then he says, "Take heed that you don't offer your burnt offerings at any place that you see, but at the place which the Lord God will choose in one of your tribes, there." And where was that? Who knows the Bible on that one? Jerusalem, right? So in the Old Testament, you got to do it at the tent of meeting. In the Old Testament, in the Promised Land, only at Jerusalem offer your stuff. There I'll meet you. And in the New Testament, it says on the golf course, right? First, that was in first and second hesitations in the New Bible. No, not at the fishing hole, not on the farm, not out at the beach, not at a theme park, God says. But where is he going to meet us? Where's the promise? Who knows it? Matthew 18. Jesus says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Isn't that beautiful? So where in the New Testament has God said, "I'm going to meet you in a supercharged personal way"? Right here in church, where there are two or three are gathered. In fact, 100 gathered in his name to worship him. Now, is he also everywhere? Sure. The church is people, not buildings. But since we're all gathering together in this building, God is meeting us here because this is where his people are, and that's where you are to get a supercharged appearance of the Lord, as even now. So, that's a beautiful thing, that God has given us a place where he is going to meet us. And is he meeting you right here? Is he speaking to you through his word? Would you experience this if you were out on the golf course or in, you know, a pool somewhere? You know, I will admit it, church is not as exciting as a roller coaster, amen? Sometimes you got adrenaline going, it's really fun, but I have yet to see a roller coaster save you from death and give you eternal life. God says it's here where I minister to you. Here I will speak with you. Here I'm in the midst of my people who are gathered in my name. Here I will bless you, lift you up, draw you to myself, and you'll meet me in a personal, powerful way. Where two or three are gathered, there I am. That's another good reason to come to church. Thirdly, God says, come to church each week because it's the only place on earth where you will find the truth. And Paul calls the church in 1 Timothy chapter 3, he says, "The church is the church of the living God, the pillar and bulwark of the truth." Is that true? It is the fortress of truth, the castle of truth in the world into which you may run and find truth. Now, can you find truth other places in the church? What do you think? Well, to a certain degree, you can go out and see the mountains, right? The shores were just out there in the mountains in the west. That was beautiful. You can see them on the sea. You can see the power of God, the majesty of God. You can go out in the woods, but I have yet to go out into the woods and have a tree say to me, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Anybody have that experience? You know, the Disney movie, Pocahontas, have you seen that one? Well, she goes out and talks to Grandmother Willow Tree. And you know what she got from Grandmother Willow Tree? Hoo-ha. She did not get the scriptures. She did not get the truth from a tree. You get the truth here. And I know, I experience it too. It'd be really fun to go fishing right now, to hang out on the beach, go to a theme park. I'd be with you. The only thing is, you're not going to find the truth there. This is where the truth is for your encouragement in the faith, where God meets you and says, I'm going to build you up in the truth. Which is, if you think of it, the one thing we really need. Because man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God says in Hosea 4, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. A people without understanding come to ruin. And what's the one thing we really need? Martha was distracted with a whole lot of serving. Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet. Oh, make her get up. Make her come serve with me, says Martha. And Jesus says, I'm not going to take it from Mary. This is the one thing needful. My word, you're getting distracted, Martha, with too much other stuff. One thing's needful. My word. And so where are you going to get the word? You can get it somewhat on TV, although those preachers are really off a lot of times. Somewhat on the radio, they're really off, but they're even not personal. Here you have a living human being breathing, speaking to you the word, and you speak it to each other. When I get into a Bible study with you on Sunday mornings, you speak to me, and I learn so much from you. We're here to encourage each other in the truth. So God says, come to church, because it's the fortress of truth, the pillar, the bulwark. You're not going to find it anywhere else. This is the armory where you come in, reload your gun, get ammunition, and go out and live a victorious life in me. And fourthly, God says, come to church because where else on earth are you going to find baptism? Where are you going to find the Lord's Supper? Where are you going to find confession and absolution, right? Do you find that at a Super Bowl game? Amen? No, you don't. Do you find that at a local diner? Do you find it at a movie? I like going to movies, but do you find the Lord's Supper there? No. Here alone is where we're washed. Here alone in the church is where God waters us. He gives you a drink. He says, take of my son's refreshment. I give you manna from above and water from a rock. I give you my son's body and blood to eat and drink. Here I fill you with good things and ensure your salvation and pluck up your spirit and make you strong and brave as God, your God, meets you here in this place. And then fifthly, God says, come to church because here it is where you belong. Now, we live in a pretty non-belonging culture, don't we? I mean, where are most people? Splintered off into groups. Some people, you know, you got five people from a family at a restaurant, and what are they all doing nowadays? Facing in other directions, looking at their cell phones. People don't belong anymore. You don't even know your neighbors, probably, a lot of you. People are splintered off in every direction, not really talking, having virtual relationships on the internet, not touching each other. Here is a troop that you belong to, God says. You're not isolated. This is a place I have for you to belong. Where else in nature, or where else in the world, do you sing with anybody else? Anybody do that? Yes? There's no other place. Here alone, we sing a common song. We have a common confession, a common truth, a common God, a common Savior, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So we're like a troop. We're soldiers. We're shoulder to shoulder and brother to brother, and we're here encouraging each other together in a group to which you actually, truly belong. You're not alone in this world. Salvation, yeah, you're saved by your own faith, but it's everybody together. It's a group effort, being part of the cavalry, being part of a group together to which you belong. God says, this is where I want you. Here I give to you one manifestation of the Spirit. To you I give another one, all for the upbuilding of the church, for your common good. Here you can confess your sins to her, and she can confess them to you. You can pray for one another that you be healed. That's James 5. Here, you have knowledge, and you have knowledge, you share that, and you build each other up. That's 1 Thessalonians 5. Here, you're kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgive each other as Christ forgave you. You don't see that yet in your workplaces very often. People forgiving each other tenderly, mercifully. This is where it happens. For you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. Here you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that can't be hid. And you're the salt of the earth. And the church is the only hope of the entire world because we are a lighthouse of light to the world, which is like a ship in a storm at sea at night, looking for hope for eternal life. And here is where we find it. So, lastly, here is this one. God says, come to church every Sunday because here is the only place on planet Earth where you are going to find grace. Grace. Say the word grace, if you would. The grace for salvation. Do you know that the world knows nothing about grace from God? The world says, as in all the other religions say, do this, do this, do this, keep all these laws and you'll go to heaven. That's wrong. Conscience says, do this, do this, do this, and you'll be okay with God. That's the law. Nature says, do this, do this, do this, and you'll survive. The business world says, do this, do this, do this, and you'll be rich. And all the world says, do this, do this, do this, the law, and you'll go to heaven. But you know what the problem with that is? It's totally disastrously wrong. For no human being will be justified in God's sight by works of the law, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But here is where the only place in God's people, where two or three are gathered, where you're going to hear the truth of grace. That God saves you as a free gift because he loves you through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as an expiation or atoning sacrifice by his blood that we might receive it by faith. Isn't that a beautiful word? Here is the only place where you get the word that God loves you even when you're unlovable. But he creates in you the things he loves. He gives you, he abolishes death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Here, God gives you eternal life as a free gift received by faith. For to him, to Jesus, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins through faith, through his name. So, Jesus is coming soon, it says, to judge the world, the living and the dead. But here God says, I have saved you. I love you. Here is strength for your faith, for your salvation, that I have brought you into a covenant of grace in the forgiveness of your sins. Isn't that beautiful? So, what am I going to say? Conclusion right here, all right? So, stay with me. Fishing. I love to fish. Going to a theme park, that'd be fun. Sleeping in my bed in the morning, that's great. And you can do all those things and enjoy them. But don't let them rob you or me of coming to church. Of course, I have to come to church. I'm the preacher, right? But come to church because it's here, guys, that God meets you personally. He's promised to. Here he speaks to us freely his word of grace. Here he feeds us with the manna from above, the water from a rock, Jesus' body and blood. Here he cleanses your wounds. Here he washes your sins. He forgives you. He blesses you. He loves you. He empowers you. He fills you with his eternal joy. And here we find a troop to which we can stand with in the fight. Here alone, two or three are gathered in his name. In Christ's name, and therefore Jesus says he's right here in the midst of us. Is he right in this room today? He might be elsewhere too, but here you're going to meet him in a supercharged way. He is here today. It's good that you're here. I'm so happy that you're here. Praise God that you're here for the encouragement in the faith and the relationship. Conclude with this then. Numbers 23. God says, God, he has not beheld misfortune in Jacob, nor has he seen trouble in Israel. For the Lord their God is with them, and the shout of a king is among them. In Jesus' name, amen.